Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
All right, good morning. This morning, we're going to talk about "for such a time as this." Now, these words are taken from the Bible. Some people may not be familiar. They may have heard the story of Esther. But one of the famous verses here in Esther talks about how God can take exactly the song. In fact, the story of Esther is the story of the song we just sang. How God can take what somebody means for evil and turn it to good. And this actually, I was planning this week to preach something else. We were getting into Easter and I was a total different direction. But this week has been kind of an upheaval week. And I think every day our lives are changing. Every day we have new news coming out, new government recommendations, new things happening. And so, you know, my daughter's graduating high school. We're thinking, are we going to have the graduation? We're thinking about how are the kids going to finish school? People are having to cancel wedding plans. Maybe people are going to have to cancel trips. Is the government responding in the right way? Are they doing too much, too little? A lot of uncertainties. And, of course, in the day of media, the day of news programs and Facebook and all that, we have all kinds of opinions from the total conspiracy theories to it was planted and they brought it over to the other extreme. And so it is an uncertain time for us today. And so maybe this week for me was just kind of adjusting, kind of trying to get my bearings, trying to frustrated. We were thinking about all our plans coming up for Easter and for the pastor we have coming to do the potter's wheel and all that coming up. We have all these plans that we have going forward, and they've been totally turned upside down. And so we think, God, what are you doing? What's going on? And some of you go to the store and there's no toilet paper, no water, or no flour, as we've been, we did get some flour, but my wife said it wasn't enough, and we keep looking for more. We're not finding it. And so we're a little bit like, okay, what do we do now? God, what are you doing? And I thought of this verse in Esther that says this. Esther chapter 4 verse 14 says this: "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." Now notice what Mordecai, I'm going to introduce you a couple of characters. Mordecai is her uncle, and Esther is an orphan girl that was taken from Judah, brought to this heathen kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom. And he says this: she's there in the palace, and you're going to find out why in a few minutes, but by God's ordained for her to be there, and she had the opportunity to save her people. The enemies had come and had made a law that on a certain day that they would get money if they would kill all the Jews. And so he says to her famous words, if you've been around church, the Bible, you've probably even heard these. He says, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows if you are here for this time? Esther, you've been brought here, and who knows? And you may fear, and she had to make a decision. whether she was going to go into the king, and the king had made an order that no, the queen could not see the king unless he asked her to come. And so she was going to make a bold move to go in and stand before the king and ask for her people to be saved. And these famous words says, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And we can ask the church, our church, and the church across the country, across the world. God has ordained circumstances that have thrown us out of kilter, have upset our routine, have forced us to rethink a lot of things. And I think God is asking us this morning for such a time as this. What does God want us to do for such a time as this? So, a little bit of background for this story, and a little bit of background to understand how this story unfolds, and then we'll understand this statement by Mordecai a little better by next week. But notice the first principle I want us to see this morning is this. We never know how events unknown to us will impact us tomorrow. Now, a few months ago, something was going on in China. And most of us didn't even know about it. Most of us probably don't even know about this market. I don't even, Hunan or whatever market. I don't want to say that. It's racist to say anything Chinese nowadays. But according to authorities, that's where the virus started. We didn't know that this virus would be impact in the church right now. Events unknown to us. Events that we didn't even know that were going on. And so, Esther, as we're going to learn a little bit more about her. So Esther, the book of Esther starts off. Now, interesting thing about the book of Esther, it never mentions the name God. One little fact about the book of Esther, never mentions the name God. And so this king is having a party. In fact, he's having a 180-day celebration, and he's topping it off with a 7-day feast. So he's having this feast, and he told the people in other words, it's like a wedding with open bar. Open bar for 180 days. Can you imagine the state of these men? So they're there. It's a celebration. Queen Vashti is having her own party. She's having a ladies' meeting separate. And so the king is there, and he's having the conclusion of the celebration. 7 days, he has all the important men from all the provinces, from all the other kingdoms. He's there. He's probably boasting. And his wife was very beautiful. And he wanted to bring her in. He sent her a note, sent her a text message. Not a text message, but you understand. An official decree. I want you to dress in your nicest dress. And I want you to come. And I want you to, so everybody can see you. Now, they didn't have women's liberation back then. But I think Queen Vashti was the start of the whole movement. And notice verse 12, it says, "But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs." She's probably sick of the drunkards, probably sick of all these guys going on so long, like, just get out of here. "Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him." Now, he was embarrassed by this. He was made to look really bad. And here his wife, the queen, was supposed to command to him, so he got all his counselors together, and he said, "What am I going to do?" And he got everybody together, and it was determined that all the men got together and said, "We're not going to put up with this." So the first women's liberation got squelched pretty bad. And they got all together. And they said, what shall we do to Queen Vashti? According to law, because she did not obey the commandment of the king, brought to her by the eunuchs. So what are we going to do? If it pleases the king, they got all together and made a law. If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be pre-recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall, now notice what it says, Vashti shall not come no more before the king, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. So what did he do? He kicked her out. That was it. No more. And so here is a palace drama, if you will. This is for the tabloids. You go out to the supermarket, that's what's there. About Vashti. How could Vashti do that? And then there'll be a bit, wow, we're going to praise Queen Vashti. Stood up. So you can imagine there's a lot going on. And so these events are going on unseen. God's working these events. We don't even know what's going on. So many things happening. That's the one thing that even though all this is going on, and I think some people are all worried about, you know, government takeover and conspiracy theories, I know one has it all in control. I know God that has everything in control, and in this whole story, as we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, all these elements, all these evil plans, they're all coming together, but God has put his people in the right positions at the right time. That we couldn't even imagine that God would be doing this. And so we get introduced to Queen Esther. Notice this. After these things, when the wrath of the king subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. He had a little bit of remorse. So after the marital spat, after the blow up, he kind of took drastic action. And now he's like, I don't have a queen. And so what are we going to do? And so they got talking about it, and he says, let the young woman who pleased the king, so they're going to have a queen beauty contest. And they're going to get all the most beautiful woman they can find. He says, then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This thing pleased the king, and he did so. So the king was remorseful for what he did. He finally got out of his 180-day drunken state, got sober, regretted what he had done. And now they're going to have a contest, okay, to find out who is going to be the replacement queen. Now notice the second point. The first point, God is ordaining the circumstances. We don't even know it for his plan. But notice the second thing. You never know who you are helping and what they will become. Because for every Esther, there's a Mordecai behind it. So Esther, notice chapter 2, verse 7, and Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, notice it said, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So here is this man, Mordecai, and he's raising his uncle's daughter. And I like this point that he made. He said he took her as her own. In other words, he didn't just take her out of obligation. He put his heart and soul into her. He treated her like, her own daughter. And so here was an orphan girl, a refugee. She was a refugee. She was from Judah, and she was brought over in captivity. Probably was a slave, may have been a slave, or brought over at one time as a slave. So here we have an orphan refugee. Think about that. Think about the people God uses. Oftentimes, God uses the obscure. We want the superstar. We're always looking for the LeBron James. We're always looking for the Tom Brady. New England Patriots fans aren't anymore, unfortunately. I'm still in denial, but we're always looking for the one person that's going to come and change things. And here is this orphan girl that is a refugee that comes from nowhere, and God is going to put her in a unique position to save the nation of Israel. But behind her was Mordecai. And we can ask ourselves the question this morning, who are we influencing with the gospel? Who are we influencing with our lives? I think of the Williams at an older age have taken on two foster kids. I think of other people in our church that are raising grandkids and in our society that are making the difference. I think of the people involved with the teens and with the Iwana kids. You never know, being a Mordecai, the influence of your life on somebody else. I've told you the story how I came to Christ through the radio, from listening to the radio, went and kind of just went looking for a church. Ended up in a small little church, Sanford Bible Baptist Church. It was a pastor and his four sons. And the church was kind of, it wasn't doing that great. It's kind of struggling. But I went there and started serving and met one of the sons I got really close to, Paul. And he and I played a lot of basketball together. And I can remember playing with the four sons. It's funny playing with sons when they get mad at each other. It can get into a fist fight, literally. And I can remember playing in their yard. It wasn't paved. It was mud. And sometimes it'd be raining. And those were some brutal, physical, abusive battles back then. But God put me there. It wasn't a big church. It wasn't, a lot going on. But I tried and ended up from there leaving, going to Bible college. But I can remember Paul's mom saying to me later in life, because Paul, when he was born, was very sick. And she said, God's had a special purpose for him. And he kind of looked up to me. And now he went as a missionary. Now he's a pastor in Mississippi. I'm not saying it was because of me, but that was an influence in his life that he needed at that time. And there are a lot of times I've talked to people, and unaware to me, and not thinking I'm doing very much, that God has used my love for the Lord and consistency as an example to others. And so sometimes it may not be taking somebody in your home. It may be being that example. It may be being that consistent light in somebody's heart, in somebody's life, that you will influence. And Esther was not left abandoned. Esther was not put out as a refugee. She was accepted and taken in. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's what people need today. People are looking for acceptance. People are looking for people to love them. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot of these teens come to church on Wednesday night. They're just looking for somebody to care about them, to acknowledge that they exist, to say that they're important. And we know through the gospel that every person is created in the image of God. Every person is made with a specific purpose by God. Every person is wanted by God. And so God has called us, if you will, to be like Mordecai, to encourage others, to take care of others, and show them the way of the gospel. And so we see the story, we have this orphan girl, so we have the king, powerful king, huge kingdom, Persian kingdom. We have the queen that's been deposed, and we understand that the events that are happening in unknown places, God is working those for his purpose. Then we come to another part unknown to the king. This girl Esther is not known by the king. Her family is not known by the king. Her existence is totally unknown to the king, to those in the court. But she's there by the hand of God. And then the last point this morning we see it's not on here. So the last point that we see is this. God has put you exactly where he wants you. God has put you exactly where he wants you. You're where you are because that's where God wants you. So, make a long story short, go back and read Esther this week. That's your homework. Read Esther this week. Read this story. So, they had this contest. And Esther was taken in. And she won the contest. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Think about that. This refugee orphan became the queen of Persia. Persia was the world power at the time. They were the world power. They were like America. They were even... the world power. And here's this orphan girl. So God... And so we come back to today. And we think, God, what are you doing? Am I going to be able to pay my bills next month? I was getting ready to start a new job, and now I'm not starting it. I don't know if I can take this isolation. So all these circumstances are happening. We're not aware. We don't know all the details. We don't know the end game. And I think part of the uncertainty today is we don't know. Every day it's different. Every day the president, the news comes out, it's different. We're not sure. Now we're thinking a couple weeks. Now they're talking about till April. And some talk about till the summer. Some even talk it could come back in the fall. We're in a unknown time. But we know this. God has put us here. God has arranged these circumstances. And we can take that phrase that Mordecai said, for such a time as this, what does God want us to do? What can we do? What can we do for such a time as this? How can the church respond to this crisis? And I think it's going to take us to, and I think for me this week, kind of just, I don't know, I was kind of numb this week, and maybe not reacting as much as fast as we could. But here's some things we can do as a church. Here's some things we can do as a church. Maybe read through the Bible. It'd be nice if the sometimes if the internet would go off too. That might help us. But now you're going to have some extra time. You're not going to be going to, you know, soccer. So I was getting ready to start. Soccer, softball, that's not happening now. My wife was all worried. She's talking about, what are we going to do? Should I call the kids for the play? I said, we're not having Easter play. So we can, maybe, when's the last time you read through the Bible? Genesis to Revelation. When's the last time you did that? So I suggest just start. Now what I do is I read some in the Old Testament, then I read some in the New. I kind of go back and forth, read a book in the Old Testament, then read a book in the New Testament. And then in between, I'll go through the Psalms, Proverbs, as for devotions. And sometimes I've suggested to many people, if they've not read the Bible in another, sometimes just reading it in another translation gives you a new perspective. Spend time with our family. Notice a lot of comments on Facebook, people discovering family time. Like that was some new revelation. But I think we have another opportunity. Because we're live this morning, and it's kind of, we've been doing this since, I don't know, we've been live since I first came. We at least 4 years. And I used to do live in Romania. And so it's kind of humorous to me to seeing all these pastors all of a sudden going live. And but here's the opportunity. We have this medium. And now here's the opportunity. Everybody's home. And everybody's on their phones. So one thing we can get is go down your all your friends list. Go to your friends list and invite everybody to like Faith Baptist Church's page. We're up to 600 so this is from last week. Last week you have 665 followers. We had 1,430 post reach, the people we reached with our post last week. And we had 560 video views last week. Okay? With a little bit of effort on everybody here on the live stream, everybody here, if you would just go on your friend's page and invite everybody to like Faith Baptist Church, we could get up to 2,000 followers on our page. That means every time we send a video, a message, that goes to their feed. Share post. Share. When I go live Wednesday night at 7:30, we're going to have a live sermon. I had it last week. And then I'm going to be starting. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it Saturday, but I'm going to do at least once a week. I am going to do a live, or I may do a pre-recorded gospel message. So I'm going to do a simple, I'm going to go through the sermons of Jesus. I'm just going to go through some simple parables, gospel message, 15-minute gospel messages from the Bible, about Jesus. You know, I think about the rich man. I think there's so many good stories of the Bible. So I'm going to go with some evangelistic gospel messages. And you know what you can do? You can share those. Share those with people. Share them on, and one thing you can do, because I can't, so as a Faith Baptist Church, I can only post to like the forums twice a week. That's all they allow you. But you guys can. So when we go live, you can post it to a forum. You can post it there. It gets everything all on. But think about this. We're able, through this medium, do you know that when the printing press came out, some people didn't want to print it on, they thought it was wrong to print the Bible? This is the revolution. Media revolution. The communication revolution, that we're just in the tip of the iceberg. That we're able now, we're able to access closed countries. We're able to access people all over the place. And so we have, and maybe this time that people are forced to stay home, this is going to give us an opportunity to get this medium out. And so this is what we're doing. We're doing our live message. We're going to be doing some gospel messages. Talk to Gary maybe about doing an open discussion forum for the teens. And if you're on the live stream, you have some suggestions, a prayer time, maybe just a call-in, write-in discussion. Write it on the comments. Write it. All right, I'd like to see this, or I need this, or morning devotion, or whatever. What would you like to see? How can we help as a church? I think another thing we can do, if there's somebody in need, I've had several families say, if there's any old people that need us to do grocery shopping, if there's anybody that needs help around the house, I have three families right now that I said, we're ready to go. So if you know anybody, you know a neighbor, maybe whatever, somebody, we need to be ready to help. And I think if this thing prolongs as a church, we need to think about how we're going to help people, maybe financially, whatever, how we can help people. We need to be ready and ready to do that. Listen, God has ordained this time. How will we respond? For such a time as this. God has worked these circumstances. We don't know, but he's worked them. God is using Mordecai's, people like Mordecai. And so think about who you're going to call, who you're going to encourage, who you're going to send a note. And then God has put us here. We're right here in Enfield, Connecticut. God has put us here. God has put you in this church. And so how are we going to respond to do what God has called us to do? And have the worship team come up.